What's up, guys? I'm Cora.
And I'm Sharon.
And this is Learning on the Job, a podcast for moms.
Join us as we talk about our highs and lows and everything in between on this journey of motherhood.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Learning on the Job podcast. And I'm so happy to have you guys here with us today. Sharon, I know that you've been having kind of a chaotic week. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. We're good. We're hanging in there. We just found out that Jenny has a double ear infection, and so she got sent home from daycare yesterday, and we stayed home today because she had to get cleared by the doctor before she could go back. They said that she has to be fever free for 24 hours and symptom free of all the things that they send home for. And they send you home if you have 100.4 fever, if you have 3 diapers of diarrhea. And she had both. So they sent her home yesterday around 3, and she never had a fever on our watch. Like, even when I picked her up, she didn't feel warm. So I don't know if maybe she just spiked a little fever and then it came down, but thankfully, she has been in good spirits. She's been happy. She's been eating, drinking water. I've been really trying to make sure that she drinks plenty of fluids with the diarrhea. But thankfully, we went to the doctor today, and they told us that she had 2 ear infections. So we got her medication for that. And then they also tested her for COVID, which I was a little afraid of, just because I know that it's going around again. And thankfully, she's negative for that.
Good.
So I'm going to see. She only had 1 bad diaper today. Her second one wasn't that bad. So I'm going to see how she is in the morning. I'm not going to get her up as early as we normally do, because if we do have to stay home again tomorrow, I don't want her to, I'd rather her sleep in. It's going to make her feel better. So I'd rather just be late to work tomorrow. But I'll check her in the morning if her diaper, she's been waking up with bad diapers the past few days. So if she wakes up and she's good tomorrow and she has no fever, then I'm going to send her to daycare and just let my boss know that I might have to leave again if for whatever reason she's still showing symptoms at daycare. But I really would like to get her back in school so I can go back to work. But thankfully, my work has been very understanding and flexible with everything. And it's nice that I'm salaried now, so Jake can still go to work and everything. And I can still kind of work from home if doing a little bit here and there.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I definitely think that's got to be tough. And I know that that's just the plight of being a working mom and like sending your child to get daycare. Is if they get sick, then both of those things kind of have to go on hold for a little bit. And how do you handle it? So it's
definitely something. And this is our first time. This is the first time that she's been in daycare, and she's been in daycare since about October? the middle of November.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She got in, right, because it was before her birthday. So this is the first time that she's been sent home sick. There was one time where she had a low grade fever, but it wasn't enough to send her home. And I'm pretty sure she was just teething really badly, but this is the second time she's had ear infections. And I honestly don't think she really even got over her last ear infection fully. So Jake and I are kind of riding that line, thinking that we might end up having to get tubes in her ears if she gets another ear infection, because I think they said it's 3 within 6 months and 4 within a year is usually
when they start looking at tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which, I mean, it's not a big deal. Several people in my family had tubes. And then we actually just had some friends of ours, their daughter had to get tubes, and she's 6 months older than Jenny. So, and they said that they've seen a world of difference in her. And I was talking to them today, actually, and they said that this week is like the first week that their daughter hasn't been sick from daycare. So I'm hoping that people are just sick from the crazy weather that's been in Texas, because it's cold and hot and cold and hot all within the same day.
Right.
And
I know.
I mean, ear infections with little kids, because of the bacteria, there's just no way to prevent it. Like, even Jenny technically probably got an ear infection just being here at home, because she got her first one, or at her birthday. She had her first one on her birthday. So, I mean, who knows? There's really no way to prevent it.
Yeah. It's just a tough situation. And I know, like, some kids just are predisposition to get them more frequently than other people. That's why people get tubes. I know a lot of people that have had to get tubes. I didn't have to get tubes, but I did have to go do this thing where I had to go and basically get my ears, like, cleaned out. Like, I don't really know. Like, they put these, like, tubes of something in there, but they, like, swish some stuff around. I don't know. They did some things to, it was like a preventative step. So, like, if it worked, then I wouldn't have to get tubes. But I was old enough to remember when it happened. Like, I remember I had to have been like 3 or 4. I remember thinking it was weird from the beginning, because I was going to the doctor's office at night. Like, I remember it being night when we walked into the hospital, and I'm being like, this is weird. And then they put me in this thing that was like a fish tank. And yeah, it's like one of my first memories. I still remember it very, very well, thinking it was like very scary.
Yeah, Jake and I never had to have tubes or anything. I do know that I got sick a lot as a child with like my throat. I had
Me
a bunch
too.
of stuff with throat, so I actually almost had to get my tonsils removed, and it was very weird. My mom wishes that they would have just gone through with it, because they backed out literally at the last possible second, because I remember that I was on the gurney or the bed, whatever. I was checked into the hospital and everything. I was in the gown. They were about to wheel me back, but they decided to do one last blood work to check something. I don't even know why or what. And I'm a carrier for, it's basically something that is for, what's it called? Excessive bleeding. I don't know what it's called, but I'm a carrier for this. And they didn't know if I was a carrier or if I had it, and so they didn't want me to not stop bleeding in my throat.
Wow.
Essentially, so they backed out, but later we found out I don't even have it. Like, I could have just gotten my tonsils taken out and been fine. But I mean, I never got sick again after that, so I mean, it all worked out for the better. I guess I'm perfectly fine.
Well, today we want to talk about something completely different. but something I still think that is helpful for all moms to know. You know, obviously Sharon and I have both been doing the mom thing for over a year now. So we've seen our fill of things and different first experiences and second experiences and whatnot, actually, for all sorts of different facets of, you know, what it takes to be a mom. And one thing that we feel we've gotten a lot of experience of over the past year is becoming expert travelers with our kiddos. We've both taken our little ones out of state multiple times. And Sharon tends to be more of an airplane flyer, whereas I do more of the cross-country road trip type of thing. So different, you know, types of traveling that kind of some overlap, but, you know, at the same time kind of take their own special, like, list of things, tips and tricks that just make it a little bit easier. So that's kind of what we want to talk to specifically, you know, like we said about the babies. I think that as our kids get older, these will develop even more. So we'll probably have more tips for the more of a toddler age in the future. So, you know, this is definitely going to be more focused on that first and second year, especially, you know, like when you're breastfeeding and things like that, that make traveling just a little more difficult. So I'll go ahead and kind of go over some of my travel tips for if you are driving. We've taken Claire first over the summer, we took her on a cross-country trip to the East Coast, to West Virginia. And so that was like 2 days of driving and then obviously driving back. And then more recently, we drove Well, first we drove to like the McAllen, the Valley area, which from where I live in New Braunfels is about a 5 hour drive. So that was like, well, about a half day road trip. And then also over Christmas break, we went and saw my brother in Kansas. So that was about a 9 hour drive. So a few road trips that she's been on, and she's a pretty good traveler. But I do think that it helps when we're super prepared. So obviously, things like the diaper bag and your typical necessities that you would take on a day trip, we would bring. But you want to make sure that you have everything in the car like easily accessible so that when something arises, you know where it is and you're able to grab it quickly so that you can get it to her, especially because I found, when you're traveling, the baby's in the back seat and rear facing while you're in the passenger seat. So you may have to like reach back there or like get kind of out of your seat for a minute to help fix things. And you want to not be doing that and not being distracting to the driver like as much as possible. So it's really helpful to just know where everything is and to have it like at the ready. One thing that we did was we actually brought our diaper caddy with us when we went on the long road trip, which I think was helpful because one, I had all the diaper stuff kind of ready to go if I needed to like change her in a jiff, like at a gas station or something. But also, I was able to put like some snacks in there and like medicine if we needed it really quickly, and just a couple of other like teethers and things like that, so that they were at the ready to go. And then obviously with the same thing, like food and snacks, wanting to have lots of those. I find that when I'm in the car with her, I like let her have even more snacks than I would at home because if she's fussy, it's like one of the few things I can do to alleviate it. It's just I can't get her out of the car seat and she doesn't understand that, so we give a lot of snacks. And I think Sharon and I can both attest to different types of suction toys, how they can be really helpful. And I know Sharon can talk more about this when she talks about flying, but being able to both put those on like the windows, but also we use those a lot in like restaurants and whatnot. So having those at the ready. And then for Christmas, I actually got her this Melissa and Doug suction cup beaded maze, and that's been our new like go-to restaurant toy. And sometimes I let her play with it in the car, so that's really cool. I got her a couple of other toys for Christmas that are really good for being in the car, like the poppers. She could sit there and play with that for a really long time, so that's great. And then I also got her this busy board, which I've talked about before, that's got different buckles and latches and things like that. So I think that those are all really cool. Just having a few different games or toys that she can play with, and preferably ones that are like not super hard, that are like flexible. Because, one, if God forbid you get in a car accident, like you don't want really hard things flying about in the car. But two, she could throw them and it could come fly anywhere, and you just don't want it to be more of a hazard. So I try to pack like the softer toys, the flexible silicone stuff or stuff on foam and stuff like that. And then this is a more recent thing, so this might be a more like toddler-esque thing than babies, but now that she kind of eats more and she can eat more independently, we recently started using like a little snack tray. And so I can give her like some snacks back there. And that's really good when you're traveling in the car, especially if you're going on like long car rides, like road trips, and you're just going through a drive-through, because I can like get her set up with her sippy cup and like some chicken nuggets and whatnot, and she's good. So yeah, I think that those are different things that I always pack and like to have in the car. And then of course, like an iPad, and we have a something that can go over the back seat so she can watch Bluey or Miss Rachel, and I just hook it up to my personal hotspot. Obviously it's not the most ideal, but during travel times, I know when I was growing up, that was always like the fun of it. It was like, oh, you get to watch TV in the car and fun times. So I have other travel tips and other tips, but I feel like maybe they could be in all inclusive. So I'll go ahead and let you talk about some stuff and then I can round out at the end.
Okay. Yeah, so my list is a little long, mainly because there's so many different steps whenever you're flying with a baby. And so the two big trips that I took with Jenny last year were, first we took her to Disney World whenever she was, I think it was 7 months old, and she turned 8 months while we were traveling. And then in September, I took her to Denver, Colorado. So she's a frequent flyer. She and she's done really well both times. So I've kind of split mine up into different sections. So first off, what to pack. A lot of this can kind of go hand in hand with a lot of the stuff you said, making sure that you have anything that you may possibly need. So that's medicine, lots of different clothes, depending on where you're going and how long you're going to be there. I mean, babies are going to need multiple changes of clothes for different days because, I mean, accidents happen. So for flying on the plane, I would say that you want to make sure you have a designated baby bag. So what I did is I just had my carry-on be her diaper bag, and I just made sure that anything she needed on the plane at any moment's notice was in there. And then there was a few things for me, like a book or my iPad or something for me to be able to use. And so make sure that you have a decent sized diaper bag, but this is going to be my personal item that I put under the seat. And then, of course, if you need to have anything in case of an emergency, you can have something in your bag that you put in the overhead if you're able to take one of those on. But I really just put everything in her diaper bag and I just packed it really well so that it all fit. But some of the baby necessities that I would say, like I said, change of clothes. We usually travel with her in her pajamas or something comfortable because she's not going to be able to move around a lot on the plane. And I mean, we do the same in the car. Whenever we drive to Houston, we usually make sure that she's in something comfortable because she's just going to be sitting there. And
I agree.
so then depending on if she needs a diaper, I mean, she's most likely going to need a diaper change whenever we get off the plane. But depending on the situation and where we are, we usually would end up just changing her into weather appropriate clothing once we got to our destination. Diaper changes. I had a similar thing where I had a diaper caddy, but it was a foldable mat that had a pocket for me to be able to store different things that I would need. So if I did have to use the restroom on the plane, I didn't have to carry a big bag. I could just carry this one little caddy and it
Nice.
literally just folds up. Thankfully, I didn't have to use the plane restroom while I was flying, but just in case, I like to have it. And then again, food and snacks. So whatever your baby is needing. And then getting through the airport, we would check a car seat. And this is going to depend. We traveled with a toddler car seat because Jenny was in her brace already whenever we started traveling. So she was out of the infant seat. We had to travel with her convertible seat so that she could fit in it and be able to ride in the cars and stuff. So I would definitely recommend getting like a cheap bag on Amazon. Definitely look at the reviews because they do rip quite easily. So you want to make sure that it is sturdy enough that it's not going to just completely rip open, but do know that they are going to open those bags to check them. So don't have a bunch of loose stuff in there or whatever. We have checked our stroller before, but I actually don't recommend checking the stroller if you're not able to. But it's easy to go through the airport with the stroller. The only thing that's going to be a hassle is whenever you're going through security, you have to take the seat off. So Jenny was already in the toddler in the little rumble seat, the toddler seat in her stroller whenever we started traveling. So we did have to take that seat off for them to check it. They're going to check and make sure that you're not hiding anything in the stroller. And then they are going to swab your hands to make sure that you're not carrying anything that could be like a bomb-like materials.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very weird. I didn't know that whenever I was traveling. But yeah, they take like this little wipe and they swab your hands and check to see if there's any kind of residue on it. And then I also recommend using a baby carrier. So we used both a carrier and the stroller. You can use just the stroller and just have the carrier with you, or you can actually put your things in the stroller and use the carrier for the baby. We've done both. We've seen other people do both. It's whatever is best for your travel style, because some people are really kind of go, go, go. Some people are minimalistic. Some people want to have everything. It's really just up to you, your preference. For the baby carrier, we've used both a regular one. Like, we've talked about these before, but like one that is more so used for hiking, that they strap to your chest and they can be forward facing or inward facing. Those are really good for the teeny tiny babies, or even the cloth wraps, whatever is easiest for you to get on and off. Especially if baby is sleeping or you want baby to sleep. Again, if they're really little, it's a great way to hold them and then you're hands free. But also the hip seat carriers are really nice, because if your baby's a little bit bigger, they don't want to be strapped in, or you don't want to strap them in, you can have that hip seat where it just kind of buckles around your waist, and then you can hold them on your hip without all that extra pressure, and you can still kind of carry some other stuff. And then lastly, for the airport, is they have designated nursing rooms for mamas. So even if you're not a nursing mama, you can utilize these. And they are really great for diaper changes, if you have a bigger family, if you need some family time. Jake and I utilize these, and I utilize these whenever I went to Denver and I ended up having to fly back by myself. It was really nice to be able to sit in there with Jenny to kind of decompress a little bit. I was by myself, make sure I have everything. And you can just kind of take a breather. Every airport, they look a little different. So the one at the Denver airport was very large. So you, I mean, there could be multiple mamas in there. I mean, once you're a breastfeeding mom, you're really not shy anymore. So if other moms need to use it, like, you could, a bunch of moms could be in there doing their thing and be perfectly fine. But the one in, I think it was Florida, I don't think it was Houston, the one in Florida, it was like a one room kind of thing where me, Jake, and Jenny would really fit. And like, that's it. And there's a little chair and changing station and all that, but it's really just like a one family type of room. So I would definitely recommend checking those out. And I know several people who, they kind of use those just to wait around until their flight. So then you're not having to sit around a bunch of people. You're not having to bother a bunch of people with your baby if they're upset, or other people aren't bothering your baby if you're wanting them to sleep. So definitely check those out and utilize those. For on the plane, I recommend getting a window seat, because then you can kind of be in your own little space. You're not, if you're having to move the baby around, you're not having to bump other people. You're not having to worry about the aisle. Depending on who you're traveling with, Jake and I, like, he sat in the middle and I sat by the window, because for breastfeeding, I found that that was the most comfortable. Coming back from Denver, I had the middle seat to myself, so there was nobody in there. I sat in the window seat, and Jenny actually was able to sit in the middle seat whenever she was awake. So that worked out. Feed the baby at takeoff and landing. This is a really big one, because it really helps with them to pop their ears. And if your baby is sleeping already, if they don't want to feed, Jenny did sleep. Like, she never ate at landing. She was usually asleep, and we would just kind of watch her. And if we thought she looked like she was getting a little fussy, maybe from too much pressure, we would blow in her face to make her swallow. And maybe that helped. Maybe she didn't have any issues. We never had any issues with the pressure that we saw. So either everything we did helped, or she just didn't have issues. I don't know. She couldn't tell me.
Mostly just trying to get that jaw movement. It helps get the ears to pop.
Yeah.
Gets the pressure to move about a little bit more and get stuck.
And then it really helped with just breastfeeding at the beginning of the flight anyway. It really helped to put Jenny to sleep, because she was still fully breastfed. She was doing baby led weaning, but she was breastfed full time still, and she wasn't on a schedule, so she was still sleeping whenever we needed her to. So that really helped. And I also chose flights to go around when I wanted her to sleep. So I either chose flights that were earlier in the morning or later in the day, whenever she could be tired. And so that worked out for us. So definitely take that into account whenever you're booking your flights, is if your baby has a schedule, try to get a flight that is as close to your baby's schedule as possible, Or one, like I said, that could be early in the morning or late at night to where it could extend their nighttime sleep or start their nighttime sleep. And then what?
I was gonna say, I don't know how ethical this is, and I definitely, obviously, 30 years ago was a different time, but we moved to Germany on my first birthday, so I, like, on my first birthday, I had to be, like, in an airplane for a very long time, and the doctors prescribed my mom Benadryl to give me so that I would sleep on the whole, on the plane ride, because obviously it was gonna be, like, hell for everybody. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if doctors still do that or if there are things like other than Benadryl that they can prescribe, but especially if you're going on a long plane ride, but it might be worth it to
Yeah.
talk to them about it.
Definitely consult your doctor about that. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
If it works and it's
Because it makes
still
you
a
really
viable
drowsy.
option. Yeah,
Yeah,
if it's
like,
still a
I don't
viable
know.
option, I'd say go for it. And then suction cup toys, like Cora and I said, if the baby's awake, those really work. And then if you have an iPad or your phone and you do screen time and videos and stuff, you don't have Wi-Fi on the planes. Some planes have Wi-Fi, but it's also very crappy Wi-Fi most of the time. So I recommend pre-recording their favorite YouTube videos or any kind of video that they like to watch that you know would entertain them. So Miss Rachel is like an hour long, hour and a half long. You can just do a screen recording because you cannot download children videos from YouTube. I learned that out trying to download the videos
Oh yeah,
to
that's
my
what I do with
phone.
screen recordings too. It's very
Yeah.
frustrating.
I was like, why can't I download it to my phone to have? And it's because it's a children's video, it's protected. So screen recording and just like a few days before whatever you're going to use, just set it down, screen record the video and just go about your day. And the sound doesn't even have to be on because we didn't play the sound for Jenny and she's very much used to that. Whenever we travel, we don't have sound for stuff like that. Or even if we're out in public and we put a video on for her to entertain her, we don't use the sound. But if you have to use sound, the sound would be there. And then a few things for whenever you're at your destination, depending on how long you're staying there, I recommend buying diapers there. So pack enough diapers to get you to your destination to use during that first flight and stuff. But then once you're there, you can buy a small pack or a big pack depending on how much you're going to need. Same with wipes, buy a small
Yeah.
pack of wipes.
So whenever I said that I had like additional tips that I felt like could be good for everyone, that was one of
Oh,
them. I
okay.
was like, yeah, make sure it's with any type of item that you can like bring only as much as you think you'll need if you can buy it there. So whether that be diapers, milk, wipes, things like
And
that.
with flying, any that you have extra, so if you buy a big pack, any you have extra, if you checked your car seat to
Yeah,
go
you can
under the
put them in the
plane,
car
you
seat.
can throw those loose diapers in there. And that would also help as extra padding for the car seat. And that's what we did. We just threw all the loose diapers in there, and that worked. And really just any things that you might need. So if your baby is eating food, obviously you're not going to, like, we eat out a lot whenever we're traveling, but I'm not going to travel. I'm probably not going to travel with a bunch of the like the puree pouches that Jenny likes to use as snacks. I'll probably only travel with enough that we would need at the airports. So when we get there, we might go to Walmart and buy a big box of pouches to use while we're at our destination. And then if we go out to eat, then she'll just eat whatever we're eating or whatever we can order for
Yeah,
there.
same.
So definitely recommend if you're at a long stay, make a quick trip to Walmart to get a few things.
Right. Other travel tips that I have, is, as far as packing goes, is also try to like match things that you're bringing, like color matching them, especially. I try, keep everything the same, like three colors, and then you can mix and match things a lot easier so you don't have to pack as much. I found that to be really helpful. Even though I'm an overpacker, but it does help. And in the car, especially, you can't obviously do this in the plane, but try and stop every 2 to 3 hours so they can get out of that car seat. It is a little more helpful on a plane because you don't have to be stuck in the car seat. And I think that is one benefit, obviously, that and the fact that it gets you there faster. So stopping is important.
Yeah. And another thing, dirty clothes, if you're not going to be able to wash clothes there, either pack enough room and bring a bag to put your dirty clothes in. Or what we did is we were staying at like a timeshare resort at Disney World, so we had a washer and dryer, but anything that we weren't able to wash or anything that was dirty and stuff, we were also able to throw into that car seat bag to just be checked. So all of
Nice.
the dirty clothes, diapers, anything like that would just go into there, and it just acts as extra padding. The last thing I have, and this can go for any kind of travel that you're doing, domestic, international, driving, flying, whatever, is this company called Rents for Baby, and that's Rents, the number four, baby. And they are a company where you can rent baby items to use at your destination. So you can go on there. We will link their Instagram in our little Instagram stuff for this episode. And you can go on their website and put in your destination, and they'll let you know if they work in your destination. And you can do bundles where you can get a pretty much like a bunch of different stuff. They have cribs, they have different types of stuff for sleep. And so you can get like luxury items too. So if you're going somewhere and you want to feel bougie or something, you can rent the Snoo. Or you can rent an Up a Baby Vista stroller. Like you can rent a like a really nice wagon. And they have car seats. They have like the Duna car seats. They have high chairs. They have safety stuff. So if you're going to be staying somewhere and you want to baby proof the apartment, if you need a video monitor, humidifier, sound machine, toys. They also have specific types of stuff for different types of trips, so like beach, if you're going on a beach trip and you don't want to pack a bunch of stuff, outdoors, they have bouncers and swings. They also have those the tents that go over the cribs and stuff to make it dark, the blackout tents for whenever they're napping. So I definitely recommend checking them out. And you can rent for the entire time you're there. You can rent for a specific day. They will meet you at the airport. So if you don't want to travel with the car seat and you're renting a car seat, they will meet you at the airport. So if you rent a car, then you will have that car seat before you leave in your rental car. If you
Cool.
need a stroller, they will meet you there. So you can rent stuff to be delivered to you at the airport at your destination, and then they will pick it up from you at the end of your trip. You can do a day rental, and you do pay per day. So definitely take that into account if you really want to use something. So like Disney World, you may only need a nice stroller the days you go to the parks. So if you're only going for 2 days in a row, you can rent it for just those 2 days, and then the rest of the time just carry them. But definitely check them out. They are highly recommended, and they have really good products. So they're not just using cheap stuff. They're using the really nice higher end baby products, but they do have some lower end that are more budget friendly. But just kind of take all of that into consideration whenever you're choosing your stuff for rentals. Like, you don't necessarily need a Vista, but if you have the extra money to spend and you have multiple kids and you want to try it out, or if you've been thinking about purchasing some of these items and you want to rent it and try it out before you actually buy it, you can definitely do that. So, highly recommend them. And they've like been featured on Baby List, Very Well Family, like C Network. So a lot of people use them. They're very highly recommended, and everything is cleaned. So like they do deep clean everything before they pass it on to the next family. So they make sure that I believe they look at the times, like what's available for your trip. They look to see if somebody else is going to be using that before your trip and make sure that it gives them enough time to clean it before your use. So if something's not available for your trip, it may not necessarily be that somebody's using it. It could just be during their cleaning process.
Interesting. Well, that's awesome. That's a really nifty service that's offered if it's something that you want to use and you can use. That's ironic. It's kind of in the same like category as my other tip that I had on my list, which is Really, it when you're packing, and if you obviously are trying to pack your own things, you are going somewhere that maybe doesn't offer this service, or it's just not in the cards for you. When you're driving, I definitely recommend trying to reduce the amount of space as much as possible. So maybe don't opt for your bigger foldable stroller and get more of an umbrella stroller. That's what we did. And it just saves a lot of space in the car, and it can still be just as great for, you know, little outings and whatnot. And obviously it doesn't have to be your everyday stroller that you're like taking with you to the park and whatnot. But that's what we just have as a travel stroller. And when she was younger, obviously she doesn't need it now, but since we're talking about babies, we also had that foldable jumper, which I swear by, it was wonderful. It's one of the things I kept because I think it'll come in handy for the next kid, but it was on Amazon, and it's just, it's awesome. Cause you can take it. It's great for travel, it's great for like camping, you know, any kind of little trip like that, and you just want to like a safe place to secure your child or give them something to play with. It's a nice little thing you can pop up really easily. So,
and I think the umbrella stroller is a great tip, but also keep in mind where you're going, because we purchased an umbrella stroller to take to Disney for the sole purpose that if it got messed up on the plane, we wouldn't care. And if it was small enough that it wouldn't be a hassle to travel with, but we ended up not taking it because after using it here, the shade for this, like the sunshade, is not very big at all. And at Disney, we're outside in the sun the entire time. We wanted to make sure that she was going to have plenty of shade for whenever she took a nap and stuff. So we're really glad that we took our bigger stroller for the sun purposes. And then two, anytime she took a nap, it reclines back so we could lay her down a little more. And then it actually poured on us one day and she got like hardly wet at all. She wasn't wet at all, really, just her feet, honestly, because of how much coverage our stroller has. And if she was in the umbrella stroller, she'd have been soaked.
Really? Well, I have a different umbrella stroller and it has like a huge thing that goes over. So I actually, when we were in West Virginia one day, it rained and she was totally fine. And it also leans back. So, I mean, I did spend a little bit more on mine. It was off of Amazon. It was about $45, but it still folds up the same way, like kind of in that rod way. Oh, okay. Where all the sides can fold up, but it's got like a little bit nicer, it's got like a full hood, so it was a little bit better. And then it's got like one of those adjustable back, so it can either go forward or lean back a little bit, so it got the job done. Obviously, yeah, they're definitely better ones. And if you're going to Disney and you do have the room, or like say you're flying and you're able to check a stroller like that, obviously, you know,
and Disney does have the strollers that you can rent, and they're really good for the older kids, I would say. But for Sally, Jenny,
they won't let you bring wagons anymore.
Yeah,
I'd bring a wagon if I could, but
I think some people still get away with it. But
I don't think they let you at all anymore, I heard.
I don't know. They're not supposed to let you in with selfie sticks, so people still get in with them.
Well, I think a selfie stick is a little bit easier to hide than a fucking wagon.
Yeah, but they check all your bags and stuff. And, I mean, they're supposed to take it if they see it in the park.
Like,
and
this small, and then it, like, bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know if I saw people with wagons. I don't remember. But, yeah, Jenny could have used their strollers, but my dad said it's, like, $45 a day to rent their strollers at Disney.
It's, like, the price of my whole stroller.
Yeah, I like if you need it, and I don't know, maybe the next time we take Jenny to Disney, we might do that instead of traveling with our stroller. I don't know. Maybe we'll just take our actual umbrella stroller because she'll be older and it'll be easier to get her in and out of. I don't know. That'll be something that we cross next time we do that. But if you have an older kid, you can definitely use theirs if you have the extra money. Or if you have multiple kids and you don't want to travel with a big stroller or rent one, then they definitely have them, and they are pretty big. Like, they have stroller, or they have storage space and stuff, and it's easy for the kids to get in and out of. They're plastic, and I don't think there's any coverage on them, or maybe there might be a little bit, but they definitely like will hold water when it rains, and it's Florida, so it's most likely gonna rain.
Right, it rains like twice a day just for the heck of it.
Pretty much.
Well, you want to go ahead and get into some oh shits, no yas?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. I feel like I went first last time, so I think you should go first this time.
Okay. So my oh shit is pretty much everything I said at the beginning, that Jenny hasn't been feeling well. So I'm hoping that she feels a lot better tomorrow. And like I said, we're really lucky that so far, whenever she gets sick, she's still in good spirits. She usually the only thing that bothers her that really makes her act out and cry a lot is whenever it's all due to teething. So lately she has been doing really good with that. My oh yeah is that I mentioned in the last episode, I believe, we've stopped breastfeeding. So I have not given her any at all. And it was a struggle the first few nights trying to get her down to sleep because I'm having to rock her and she's expecting me to lift up my shirt and I'm not. But the past several nights, so since this weekend and even up until tonight, whenever I was putting her down, I've just been rocking her and I'll sing like a few lullabies to her and she just lays there and looks at me. And we just look at each other and we just sit there and she doesn't fall asleep. But then I kiss her on the cheek and I say goodnight and I lay her down and she literally just like lays down on her side and she just puts herself to sleep.
That's what Claire does. I love it.
There's nothing I have to do. It's great. It's amazing. And I'm just like, girl, why haven't you been doing this for so much longer? And I mean, even beforehand, like we've been transitioning her since she turned one. We've been making sure that we were putting her to sleep more like awake. She's been putting herself to sleep, but she would still fuss a little bit, like even just in the act of laying her down. But as soon as she was laid down, she would get a little fussy. But then she'd fall asleep. Now it's a breeze. She sleeps all night. It's great. And we're gonna see how tonight goes because I just flipped her mattress over to the toddler side. And so it should be a little softer. And hopefully that also feels a little better than the stiff infant mattress.
Nice. I wonder if the reason that she got sick and the reason she's kind of feeling sick is because this is the first time, like, she went a few days, and so now her body doesn't have breast
Dude,
milk in
that's
it
literally
anymore.
what went through my head today. It's like
And it's
as
just
soon as I
like,
stop breastfeeding, she gets sick.
well, yeah, like, because the breast milk always had antibodies, it always had
Well,
something
but
in it to protect her. And it's
I
just
will
like,
say
this is.
she had an ear infection at her first birthday and she was still being breastfed.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that she could, it was impossible for her to get sick without when she
Yeah.
was on breast milk, but I'm just saying, I wonder if that's a contributing factor because, her body's just like getting acclimated to it, and so anything else that comes on is going to only exacerbate it, or this is going to exacerbate whatever she's feeling. I feel like they have to be connected.
That definitely went through my head. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, that
I'm
definitely
sure,
crossed my
yeah.
mind.
It's
And I
just,
felt so bad. Like, oh,
no,
I had to stop.
you can't feel bad. I mean, it's just, that's what happens for anyone when anything, new gets either introduced or taken away from someone's diet. Like, it's the same with you. Like, I don't know if you've had milk, or dairy products in the past week, but you should ease into it slowly because your body might not take kindly to it either for going so long. Without it. So I mean,
Yeah.
that's just how it goes sometimes.
I have been eating like, oh my God, I've been eating pizza and it's amazing. And
I
I
know, I wouldn't
whenever
be like, we should go get drinks or something now that you like don't feel bad drinking
for real,
anymore.
girl, I have so much at the house. Come over. Like my mom gave me a whole
Wine
thing
night.
of I have several bottles of wine that I haven't opened. I have so many like mini like airplane
Me too.
bottles.
Honestly, I do too because I just like haven't drank much. We gotta get with it. You gotta help me practice before my cruise because I'm
Okay.
gonna be like hung over every day if I drink just a little bit and then I like can't hack it and then
Well, so
every
my
other day.
mom gave me a box of all those mini bottles, and each one had something tied to it. So, like, first night in her own bed, first time she slept through the night, first outing without the baby. Like, it's a different type of
That's cute.
bottle for the whole thing. And there is one for when breastfeeding stops, and then there's my mom gave me two that say when it's time for another. And I'm like, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say, mom? But yeah, if you need help practicing to drink, come on over. We can do it. Leave Claire with Chris. Come over and like after Ginny's asleep. She right. won't wake up. She'll be fine.
Right. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. But what are yours?
Well, you know, my oh shit is kind of a little bit of a downer, I'd say. So I do apologize in advance. I don't know. So like I recently found out that an old friend of mine, somebody who I used to consider like my best friend in high school. We don't speak really anymore. And I recently found out that she's pregnant and I'm very, very happy for her. But it makes me sad, obviously, because, you know, we don't speak anymore. And there was a, you know, a time in our lives when we were very, very close. And I mean, I went to her wedding. That was, you know, 9 years ago at this point. And mm-hmm. that was really when we kind of, I don't know if you call it falling out of touch, or I feel like she kind of just decided for whatever reason that I wasn't in like her future path as far as like people she was going to know. So she's, I mean, in all other terms, she just kind of cut me out. So it makes me very sad. And I'll see like glimpses of her life through like mutual friends every now and then. And so I saw that recently that, you know, her and her husband, who I also know are expecting, and, you know, very just bittersweet time. Just one of those reminders that like some people are in your life for a reason or a season. Not everyone stays forever. And it's just hard, you know, going through those, and like friend breakups are always like, I think one of the hardest. And so it's like, even though we were friends for years and then basically kind of drifted off during college because we didn't go to the same college. And then she did a lot of traveling after she got married. And that was, I felt like when we drifted, and that was like, it's been, like I said, 9 years since the last time I saw her. And I still think about her, and I still think about like the times that we were friends and everything. So like, you know, those are impacting relationships that just kind of never go away, I feel like. So just been reflecting on that, and that's been kind of an oh shit, because just have to sit with those feelings for a little bit until they pass, at least in the interim pass, you know, this part of them.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think we all go through it in life, you know. So
that's what's your
Well, I mean, really, so my oh yeah is that I have some time off next week, which is kind of like whatever, because for one, I feel like I never really have time off. Like, even when I have time off, like, there's still things that are, like, my responsibility to do, and they don't just go away just because it's, like, my day off or whatever. So whatever, but, I've got some time off next week, so I'm excited. I'm gonna try and, like, do some stuff maybe with my mom and with one of my best friends from home and everything, so, yeah.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, we've gotten a lot covered in this episode. So thank you guys so much for listening to us. I hope that we were able to offer some good words of advice or some nice tips and tricks to some of you guys.
Yeah, definitely hope that you learned something or have something to take away, even if it's just something that you never thought of before. Definitely check out that Rents for Baby website that we'll link, and let us know if there's any tips that you and your family use that maybe we didn't cover, and maybe that's something that Cora and I can try out and test. And like she said at the beginning of the video, we will try and do another episode later on after we do some traveling in the toddler stage, because some stuff is definitely going to change with the flying now that Ginny's older and not being breastfed. So a lot of that's going to change, and we'll definitely give you tips on that. But let us know what your tips and tricks for traveling with your kids are.
And if you have any, you know, inspiration that you want to see, you know, in future episodes, or, you know, just something that you want to hear us talk about, please let us know. You can let us know on Instagram, TikTok, email. Learning on the Job Moms is pretty much where you find us everywhere. So,
So hope y'all have a fantastic day.
All right. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.